I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
It's time for Touche Monday night here on the download. Dave Lundy and Chris Varonis in tonight to spar, get at each other, radio fight, as I say.
Touche. I call Varonis the Chris. Kinder, gentler Chris.
Yeah.
Someone's got to fill that role.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, don't be too kind and too gentle tonight because we like the fireworks. All right, Dave. Why don't we start with the what we have going on in Israel? The protests that have turned very violent on both sides, and you have seen both the United States. What I really want to get at is the United States State Department. Essentially, I mean, they came out today. Communications director came out and said they put this strictly, firmly on Hamas, and that Israel has the right to defend themselves. This is not this normal talk from the U.S. government, but it also usually comes with a dot dot dot. But Israel should show constraint or restraint. That part was left off.
Right. Yeah, there is no amount of contempt that I do not show for Bibi Netanyahu. I think Bibi Netanyahu is a liar and a thug and is responsible for a lot of bad stuff. But in this case, the Palestinians were provoking. I mean, they clearly were trying to provoke an incident. They do that a lot. You know, it was only a couple of weeks, not even 2 weeks ago, that Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian president, trotted out every old anti-Semitic canard about how, well, the real reason Jews have been discriminated against is it's their own fault because they're bankers and their social roles and all this other nonsense.
Right.
And here's a big but. The White House has given Bibi Netanyahu carte blanche to do anything he wants. And if you look historically, Israel, which could use an enormous amount of force and kill thousands and thousands of Palestinians when they have these confrontations, never does. Because they always know that the U.S. is out there going like, hey, you know what? You defend yourself, but be careful. And what I heard some Israeli analysts saying today was that they used mortars. They use not just live fire, but wholesale fire. That the number of casualties, there are 55 people killed.
Now CNN says over 58 now.
58 people killed and almost 3,000 injured was because, in my opinion, Bibi is trying to show that he's boss and the U.S. is no longer going to tell him to stop. And in fact, you heard that from
all happening on the day that the United States is opening the embassy in Jerusalem. Yeah. That was a controversial move. It comes protests are continuing throughout the month about that's leading and with the 70th anniversary of the birth of Israel. So there's a lot that goes into this. What do you make of, Chris, the United States and their approach to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that's continuing there?
Well, I mean, there's two issues. One is the moving of the embassy and then how and when you do it. The White House has shown in the past that they're more meat cleaver than they are scalpel about timing and, you know, observing the calendar when to do it, like the day before the 70th anniversary of the founding of the State of Israel. Moving it, this is an act of Congress. Congress said this is a good thing, and we put it in the president's hand to do it. President Trump campaigned on it, and he followed through on it. And actually, you can criticize him for his policies, but you can't deny that every single thing he promised, he's following through on. Kind of a big deal. You know where this guy stands. I will say, to Dave's point, this does compromise the United States' ability to be an honest broker in the Middle East. Something that we've worked really hard to maintain.
And it seems like that's been something not just the Obama administration, but the Bush administration previous had worked hard to sort of be the mediator to show that they were at least objective in their negotiations for peace.
Yeah, I mean, look, the U.S. is generally not, quote, is not objective. You know, we definitely have been on Israel's side.
Right.
Not always. Ike, for example, was clearly not a fan and forced Israel to pull back in the 1956 war. James Baker and George H.W. Bush were very anti-Israel, and it was very uncomfortable for American Jews at that time. However, you know, Trump has just said, thrown all that stuff out the window. And I agree with you on one thing. I think that, Chris, I agree with you. I think that Donald Trump has fulfilled every campaign promise, or not every campaign promise, a lot of the stuff that's pro-consumer, he is, of course, thrown out, but to serve as corporate overlords. But he has fulfilled every crazy campaign promise that people are like, ah, no, that's just talk. You're not really going to do that. And he's like, oh, no, no, I'm doing it. I'm doing the crazy. I'm going full crazy. And, you know, look, I Jerusalem is the capital of the Jewish people and has been for thousands of years. It is the capital of the state of Israel. I've never been comfortable with the embassy, which is in Tel Aviv, when the capital is in Israel. And that said, this is about timing. This is, as Chris said, this is about bargaining chips. This is about if you give away this, which was always held back as the last issue we're going to wind up negotiating because it is so explosive, you basically take this enormous pressure off of Bibi's government to try to actually do something. Now, as a practical matter, there is no peace process today. The peace process is dead. There's nobody on either side.
I'll give Trump somewhat credit in the sense that he said that. He said the peace process, the Palestinians have walked away from it. We're not getting anywhere. So what we used to pull off the table, which was this embassy,
let's do it.
Yeah. Let's show that we're serious, that if you're not at the table, there will be punishment to that.
Yeah. Well, over the years, there's been so much stasis and stagnation, but like a kabuki dance, people flirting with the idea that we could get a settlement, and then it falls apart. I think it's completely strategic and reasonable to go down this direction, to put pressure in a place where you haven't before, you know, and use it as a bargaining chip. We'll see. I kind of question if Jared Kushner is the guy to make this happen and bring it all together.
Yeah, it seems to be. It's interesting. But he's been pulled back, and he shows up, and there's a lot of conflict around him.
Well, Jared's sales have been trimmed from everything.
Yeah.
Well, but there's no question we need to go in a different direction. Yeah.
Chris Varonis, Dave Lundy in studio. It's Touche tonight. We'll come back. Let's talk about we're at the one-year anniversary of the Russia probe. We also...
Happy anniversary to you.
We talk about Iran as well. It's Chris Varonis, Dave Lundy. It's Touche. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what you said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Right. It's Touche. Chris Varonis is in for Chris Roebling tonight. Dave Lundy is here. Let's keep going on the international front. We haven't had a chance to really talk about the Iran deal. It happened last week. What do you guys think? Is this good for America that we got out of this deal? That I have a feeling we'll start with you, Chris, because I know what Dave would probably say. But what do you think about this deal?
It's a bad deal, no question about it. In fact, I think it's completely appropriate to pick over the bones of Obama. He didn't go through the historical constitutional process of going to the Senate and getting them to agree on a treaty. In fact, so much of his legacy was by executive action, and now we see it being undone.
That's the danger of doing that by executive action.
Exactly right. Instead of doing the hard work that a chief executive should do, which is lobby members, persuade, marshal public opinion behind him. He didn't do that.
Yeah, he did.
So we have this bad deal. I think it's widely recognized as a bad deal. There's no verification whatsoever.
Not true.
And so
I'm your live fact checker, buddy.
Now we're at this point where Fisher go home. I think for as bad as the deal is, I believe we should have stayed in it. Because right now we have no leverage over the Iranians, none whatsoever. What's stopping them from restarting their nuclear program?
Well, obviously, I mean, David, I'll play devil's advocate to your position that this gives the United States and the European Union to put sanctions on Iran and force them to get out of Syria, to stop messing with Israel, to do things that they couldn't do necessarily with this deal in place.
Well, several things. Not that I want to get into it with you, Justin, but you're wrong too. So, number one, on verification, even General Mattis has said this has remarkably robust verification, better than any previous deal of its kind.
There are military installations that are not.
No, there's one military installation that was at issue, but that's a debatable point. In any event, Mattis and others have said this deal had more teeth. It was not a great deal. I was not a lover of the deal. But the question I always put to my friend Mr. Roebling and every other person on the right who opposed this deal is, okay, you can't go back to the status quo ante. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. The Europeans have said, no, we're moving forward. We're doing deals. Iran is holding up their end of the bargain, so we're not going to throw out this deal. The United States is right now a renegade. We're walking away. We're violating the terms of a deal, even though Iran has not violated the terms of the deal. Now, the question about all the other stuff. Iran is the number one international source sponsor of state terrorism. They're the ones who are behind Hezbollah. They're the ones who are behind Hamas. They've been behind other terrorist organizations. They're in Syria right now. They've developed ballistic missiles. They were developing nuclear weapons. Yeah. Iran is a bad actor. When George W. Bush went after Iraq, I said he's off by a letter. Iran is the one who's actually doing all the things that W. accused Iraq of doing. That said, that is a separate issue. If you're Israel, and I realize that this is a controversial based upon what Bibi has said, but I've always been concerned about the existential threat of the state of Israel, of Iran having a nuclear weapon, because all it takes is one, and that country is gone. That country is obliterated. It's a tiny, tiny country. I'm going there in August with my family. I can't wait to get back to Israel. But just to put it in perspective, between the Mediterranean and the West Bank is 9 miles. It's shorter than it is for me to get home to Wilmette.
And so what does that have to do with the deal?
It has to do with the deal that that getting rid of the nuclear weapons, even if you're forestalling it for at least 15 years, which this deal did, was better than the alternative. And right now the alternative is, to your point, Chris, they can restart their nuclear program with no consequence. By the way, it's also costing Boeing $20 billion in contracts.
Yeah. Well, I personally think we should have stayed in the deal, but it's completely reasonable for us to get out of the deal. And I don't think the Iranians really care, frankly. They thought this was going to be an economic bonanza for them. It wasn't. And we're not going to get the sanctions regime that we created in the run-up to this agreement, which took years to create.
Yep.
With Europe, the Pacific Rim, even if the United States imposes sanctions, they're still going to trade with Europe and the Pacific Rim. But this is, as we agree, a bad deal. And again, if we agree on our earlier point with Israel, where it's okay to go in a direction that creates pressure, you could argue the same here.
Well, except we don't agree on that. I'm all in favor of creating pressure, but what I'm not in favor of is giving a green light to the government of Iran. And this is the thing. This is what Trump never, ever, ever, ever came up with an answer to. Okay, now what? Now what, and we'll see what happens.
North Korea's win for the president.
Maybe
he gets the hostages or the detainees out. He's got a summit coming up. This is the 1 year anniversary of the Russia probe. Where are we at with this, you guys? I mean, obviously, more and more comes out about Michael Cohen and people that are putting money into him and the FBI investigation into him. But where are we in that? Where are we? Are Americans over the Russia probe already? Do we think we already know that what's in this and what's going to happen?
Yeah. Well, I'm one of those Republicans who thinks that this investigation should go on. And but comparatively speaking, with Iran-Contra or Whitewater, this is nothing. It'll be a year in 2 days.
Those were a lot longer, yeah.
Correct. Exactly.
Whitewater was almost 5 years.
And so.
And that didn't Whitewater essentially turn into Monica Lewinsky?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Which Dave is hoping the same thing happens this time around. But anyway.
No. I think there's plenty of stuff in the original charge. I think there's plenty of stuff on the collusion side.
So I think it should go on. I think some of these indictments are pretty serious. I think there's a lot of people who are in trouble. Paul Manafort, Cohen. And Let's see how it plays
out. Last word, Dave Lundy?
I want to know how much money Michael Cohen sent up the chain, paid forward to Donald Trump from these bribes that he got.
Interesting to see. Dave Lundy, Chris Veronis in for Chris Roebling tonight. It's Touche. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.